Good afternoon from Washington. I'm Larry Quinn speaking to you from the Broadcast Center at the U.S. Department of Agriculture. Welcome to today's news conference with Acting Secretary of Agriculture Chuck Connor. Reporters, if you wish to ask a question, please let us know by pressing star 1 on your telephone touchpad. Now it's my pleasure to introduce Acting Secretary of Agriculture Chuck Connor.
Thank you very much, Larry, and good afternoon, everyone. I appreciate all of you joining us today. I'd like to take this time to share a few thoughts with you on the change here at the department and to update you on some of the priorities of the Department of Agriculture. First, I want to say honestly that it has been a real privilege for me to work with Mike Johanns for the past several years here at the department. I knew him when he was governor, and it was an honor to serve here at his side. He has simply been a remarkable Secretary of Agriculture. He knows the issues, and he cares deeply about the future of American agriculture. He has been willing to make a lot of tough decisions, and he's been a terrific advocate for farmers, ranchers, and all of American agriculture. He will be missed by many here at the department. That said, however, I won't hesitate for a moment to tell you that I am ready to assume an expanded leadership role here as the acting secretary. Mike Johanns and I worked as partners on everything from policy decisions to personnel issues. That gives me confidence in reiterating what I said last week. This transition in leadership will be seamless. It is a great honor for me to serve as Acting Secretary of Agriculture. Having grown up on a farm in Indiana and having been involved in agriculture all of my working life, I very much appreciate the President's confidence in me, and it was gratifying to read of the positive comments from several members of Congress about my appointment as acting secretary. I don't take their support for granted today. I value the good relationships I have with many in Congress, and I will work to ensure that those confidences continue. Now I would like to take a moment to provide an update on a few policy priorities. The Farm Bill is certainly foremost on the minds of many people. I was involved in every aspect of the formation of the administration's Farm Bill proposal, from hosting Farm Bill forums to testifying before Congress. I personally attended virtually every subcommittee and committee markup in the House of Representatives. I can assure you that we are going to continue to work with the Senate to advocate for policies that put the American farmer and rancher on a strong competitive footing while ensuring a very strong income safety net. I will press the Senate to begin markup, which Chairman Harkin has signaled he intends to do within a few weeks, perhaps as soon as next week. The President is eager to sign a farm bill this year. I will do everything I can to ensure that a farm bill will be passed that he can be proud of and delivered to his desk that he can sign. Another issue, food safety, and particularly import safety, is going to continue to get a lot of attention from us. We will be hosting a public comment session here at the department next week on October 1st in conjunction with our import safety working group partners. Health and Human Services Secretary Mike Leavitt is doing a terrific job as chair of the working group. I look forward to working with him on a plan to improve our import safety system to meet the challenges posed by changing patterns of trade. Trade issues in general are going to remain a top priority for this agency. We want American producers to have every opportunity to reach new markets and expand their participation in existing export markets. We know American farmers and ranchers can compete with anyone in the world if given a level playing field. Our job here is to do the leveling. The pending 4 free trade agreements with Peru, Colombia, Panama, and Korea constitute a huge step in the right direction. It is critically important to American agriculture that Congress ratify these agreements. We will continue to deliver information to the Hill about the benefits of these agreements as we press for ratification. The bottom line is this: these countries already have broad access to the U.S. market, but the same is not true for the access of our farmers and ranchers to their markets. These agreements turn one-way trade into two-way trade, and that's good for American agriculture. Taken together, they can generate an estimated $3.2 billion of additional agricultural export sales for American producers each and every year. Our recent experience with the Central American Dominican Republic Free Trade Agreement, otherwise known as CAFTA, shows just how valuable these agreements can be. In 2006, the first year the agreement was in effect, our ag exports to the participating countries grew by 19%, and they are up by 22% this year, and this rate of growth is substantially greater than in other countries. Actually, 2007 is shaping up to be a very strong year for agricultural exports across the board. We expect total sales to come in at $79 billion, and that would mark the fourth consecutive record year. Every $1 billion, as you know, of ag exports generates another $2.6 billion of economic activity and supports almost 13,000 jobs. While there is much that can be accomplished with bilateral free trade agreements, a multi-party format such as the WTO's Doha Development Round of talks hold the potential for much greater gains. We remain committed to full participation in the Doha Round and will continue to press for a successful conclusion. There has been some movement since Secretary Johans and Ambassador Schwab ended their talks with the G4 group this summer. Intense talks on the agricultural text have been going on at the staff level in Geneva for the past 3 weeks. Just this morning, I spoke with some of our technical experts who have been in Geneva. I would characterize their perspective as optimistic, while recognizing that much, much work remains before an agreement can be reached. As Ambassador Schwab has said, the U.S. is willing to show some flexibility in reducing domestic support, but we must see corresponding market access. We will not, ladies and gentlemen, unilaterally disarm. Beef trade is another area foremost on our minds here at USDA. Secretary Johans waged a very strong campaign to resume U.S. beef exports to Japan, Korea, China, and other markets in accordance with international science-based standards. We will continue to press these countries to conduct trade in accordance with these international science-based standards. In our discussions with China, we are also working to eliminate restrictions they have placed on some of our pork and poultry plants because of disagreements over acceptable level of pathogens and ractopamine residues. We have engaged in technical discussions with Chinese officials in recent weeks, and that work continues on. Our goal is to reach an agreement on science-based rules for trade. The Joint Commission on Commerce and Trade, which brings together leaders from our two countries, will be meeting in China in December. We hope to be able to report to the JCCT meeting that we have resolved our trade differences. Despite our disagreements in this area, I would just point out that we have been seeing strong overall growth in our exports to China this year. They are now our top export market for soy, cotton, hides, and skin, and they continue to buy poultry and pork from U.S. producers who are not on their restricted list. So we are optimistic that an agreement based on sound science and risk assessments will be reached. Ladies and gentlemen, that is a quick update on some of the issues we're paying attention to here at USDA. I will say again how deeply honored I am to have the President's confidence as I assume the duties as acting secretary